Coming up on the Shelley Irwin Show podcast today, we talk to Ava Marilyn, starring in a new movie, The Lost Dog. The annual Heritage Hill Tour of Homes kicks off this weekend. We get a preview. The Playhouse at White Lake offers many artistic opportunities this summer, we discuss. The Seidman College of Business has a strong FOBI Scholar in Residence program. We get the details on that. And the State Director of Skills USA Michigan joins in to talk about their recent state leadership conference.
Here we go. Let's talk all things suspenseful. New short film, The Lost Dog, makes its world premiere. That's tomorrow night, downtown Grand Rapids, Bamboo Gallery, great venue, and of course, a great actress is involved. We speak about this wonderful movie that does star one of our own, is directed and written by one of our own, produced as well. So that's why we talk. Ava Marilyn in the house. Good morning, Ava.
Thanks for having me.
When did you know you wanted to be on the screen?
When did I know? I was 9 years old. I remember it very vividly.
Doesn't go away, does it?
No, never does. I've known forever.
The Lost Dog, we'll talk about it. What's been your journey thus far?
My journey thus far, we filmed in August, and the idea came, I think, almost a year beforehand. And Chris Randall, the director, writer, approached us, and we had been talking about collaborating for a while, and he wrote it, and we read a script, and it all came together pretty quickly, and it was a wonderful experience. We shot for 2 days, and we shot sequentially, which is such a gift because you never ever get to do that usually, and it was my first major experience in that way. I had never really led a film, and so... yeah, everything about it was wonderful and epic, and I saw the first cut a little bit ago, and I'm so excited. I'm really excited.
Cool. All right, I've got to ask you what The Lost Dog is about.
So, it's a short film, and so I can't say too much without giving away, but it is suspense thriller, and very shy girl named Becky finds a dog and decides she needs to bring it back to its owner. And she approaches the house, and chaos ensues.
Who do you play?
I play Becky.
Oh, you do? Who plays the dog?
Sorry?
Who plays the dog?
A wonderful little thing named Stitch. She's amazing. She's incredible. Her name is Sadie in the film. She'll be at the premiere, which we just found out recently. So I'm so excited to see her. She's my favorite co-star I've ever had. No offense, Maddie. I love you too.
Yes, yes. Let's bring Maddie's name up.
Yes, Maddie Cadell. She plays my sister in the film. She's a long, long-time friend. Really successful actor in LA. And we asked her to be a part of it, and she said yes, and she came here, which is amazing. So I got to spend time with her too. She's just incredible in every way. So she'll be here tonight.
Wonderful. Tonight, because you all gather tomorrow evening. Is that open to the public?
It is open to the public. At the doors at 6:30 arrival, and then program starts at 7:00, and we'll have the short film, and then we'll have a really cool behind the scenes video that's been made, and then some Q&A, some reception. It'll be a really, really fun time.
Nice. Then when does the public see it on the big screen?
So that night, and then we're still working on distribution overall. So this is your opportunity to see it if you want to see it now, and then we'll kind of see, but we will keep people updated on that one as well.
Tell me about Chris Randall.
Chris Randall, yeah. He is a GVSU grad while ago, and he is now an adjunct professor. I can never say that. And he's been a very longtime friend, a really, really, really incredible local filmmaker. Worked with him a lot over the years. He's shot things for us and worked with my mom, who's the executive producer on the film, Nadine.
I didn't know that was your mom.
Yeah.
Nadine Parr.
Mom over there.
And it is The Lost Dog, Full View Productions, which is very important to make sure we get out because, movie making does happen
movie
in Michigan.
Making, a lot of it happens here. There's a huge film community here that I definitely want more people to know about, but everyone on the set too is just clearly very, very passionate about it and wanting an opportunity to do it and create, and I love that about the city so much.
Yes. Have you recently graduated from Pepperdine?
I have, yes.
What career
I guess
have you
it's
chosen?
Not recent. It's a year. It's a year now. I guess I have to say that because they just had their new class graduate a couple days ago. But yeah, I graduated there, and I'm living in California now, doing the thing.
Yes. And what's that like?
It's great. It's hard. I won't sugarcoat that. LA is a tough city, but I love it so much. Also full of amazing creative people everywhere. And I'm auditioning and I'm doing my best to get everything out there and do the thing that I, like I said, have known since I was 9 years old, I'm put on the earth to do. So I'm just really grateful for every opportunity that comes my way.
But you have a degree in journalism. Yes. So that could happen as well.
I do. Yeah, absolutely. I do some of that on the side at the moment, but I'm really, really grateful for that degree. And I think it's given me a lot of ground for this industry as well. I think the two overlap in more ways than people realize, of journalism and film. I worked on the paper at school during some really interesting times to be a journalist at Pepperdine. I'm very, very grateful for that as well.
And does this story that we will see explore fear, human connection, and the unexpected places kindness can lead?
It absolutely does. It absolutely does. I think it's about conquering fears and also I think about allowing them to exist in you. And there's a way for those two things to coexist. You can, you know, fear can also be a positive thing, but at some point we have to bite the bullet.
Did you have to do some ad-libbing with the dog in as a character?
Yes, we
did. Hey, you forgot your line, Fido.
She was amazing. We add some things here and there, but she knew how to take direction better than I did. So she's very, very talented. And we that was a really cool experience to have also on my first film in this way.
Wonderful. The title is The Lost Dog. We'll look to see if that dog has been found as one of the reasons to go. Why should we see this show, Ava?
Because it's fun. It's so much fun. And I think it's just also really interesting and does explore human connection in such short time. There's a lot that's not said that's said at the same time. Lots of nonverbal that I think will resonate.
How do we find out more information about tomorrow night and beyond?
TheLostDogMovie.com.
Easy as that. Thanks to Nadine Parr, Chris Randall, again, Nadine, executive producer of The Lost Dog, Full View Productions, and you, Ava Marilyn, living your dreams and representing West Michigan. Take care.
Thank you.
Back, the Heritage Hill Tour of Homes, one of Grand Rapids' most anticipated annual events, comes this weekend. Denise Cook, you on behalf of the Heritage Hill Association, board member, co-chair of Tour of Homes, fundraising committee chair. Do you ever sleep? Good morning to you.
No, okay. I don't sleep.
Good work to be done,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's great. We love what we do and we love our homes and it makes it fun.
Although sleep is important.
Yeah.
Okay, sometimes. All right, we won't even go there. All right, Denise, first of all, remind me of the good work of the Heritage Hill Association.
So our association, what we do is we support our neighbors. We help them understand what it goes into preserving a historic property and helping them work with the Heritage, the Historic Preservation Committee, which tells us things we can and can't do. But we're also a community. That's the big thing. We're community partners. We work with our neighbors and help them just be a part of Grand Rapids.
Live neighborly, as they say. Mm-hmm. The Heritage Hill Tour of Homes begins. Tell us about the run.
Oh, we have a great, great tour this year. We have 12 properties on tour, several that have never been opened for tours. So 417 Washington is a beautiful property. The homeowners bought it in 2008. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, when they purchased it, all the radiators had burst because the house had sat empty for many years. So it went through a massive renovation project. So people on tour this year will be able to see that beautiful property. It's just an amazing property. One of our jewels of tour this year is the Voigt House. In partnership with the Grand Rapids Public Museum, they have been so kind to open the house for us this year. So people will be able to step inside and essentially step back in time and see what it was like in the 1900s.
Very cool. How does the whole tour work? Give me my dates. We start on the 15th?
Yep, we start on Friday the 15th mm-hmm. with a twilight tour. So people can buy a VIP access ticket mm-hmm. that is good for the entire weekend. On Friday evening, we will have 5 homes that are open. Tommy Fitzgerald, who is an amazing caterer.
We get to eat his work?
Oh, you do. He's going to have some fabulous food available for those VIP ticket holders. And then Mammoth Distilling Company, who we've started a partnership with, is going to be out making some great cocktails for people to just take a stroll through the neighborhood and see 5 great properties, one of which will be the Voigt House that will be open.
Yes, and then it continues?
Yep, Saturday and Sunday from 10 to 6. So general admission tickets are good for Saturday and Sunday. We will, through our partnership with Corewell Health, they will be running the buses through Heritage Hill for people who are able, who want to just get through the hill. But this year's tour is also great because walking it only takes about an hour and a half to walk to all the houses. I've walked it twice, and it's a fabulous walk throughout the hill.
As the co-chair should take a walk, as they say. What is my etiquette as I enter a home?
Well, the one thing we just ask is just be a part of the home. You don't need to take pictures. It's a private home. So we just ask
that. Are you asking me not to take pictures?
Yes, we are.
I need to know that.
Yes. It is a private home. It is a private residence. And much like if you were going into somebody else's home, you wouldn't go around photographing their home. So we just ask that you just enjoy, be a part of the moment. Just take your time, walk through the house, experience the history. Because we do have some great history this year. We were able to find some oral histories of homeowners that lived in the hill for 80 and another one was 75 years. But they were done in 1971. So most of these people lived in Heritage Hill in the 1800s, late 1800s and early 1900s. So you'll hear that at the Voight House as part of our Voices of Heritage Hill. And then you'll also be able to hear from Dorothy Aldi, who was a homeowner in the hill. Her parents purchased a home when she first came to Heritage Hill back in the early 1800s, late 1800s. There was nothing but apple trees here. Her house and another house and mostly apple trees. So you get to hear from her and what it was like back in the early 1900s.
Now remind me, are the owners at their homes when we walk in?
Some of them have decided to stay. Others have decided to just be out of town. We have some homeowners that have young children. So it's easier for them to just, you know, go away for the weekend.
Yes. What's my footwear?
Just tennis shoes, because you're going to do a lot of walking.
There we are. And lastly, could I purchase a three-day ticket?
So the ticket, if you buy the Friday night VIP ticket, it's good for the whole entire weekend. If you purchase a general admission ticket, it's good for Saturday and Sunday.
Denise Cook with us on behalf of the Heritage Hill Association. You bet we're talking about the Heritage Hill Tour of Homes that kicks off Friday through Sunday. How do you choose the homes in general? You might have mentioned this.
It's actually through the kindness of our homeowners. We ask them to put their houses on tour. And we have a lot of great homeowners this year that have offered up fabulous properties. So we really appreciate our homeowners within Heritage Hill.
Do you think in addition to obviously learning about history, that we're taking notes on, ooh, I could decorate my place like this?
Oh, absolutely. Several of our homeowners have done a great job decorating their homes in very unique ways because we do live in a historical property, but we live in our property. So it's very interesting to see how homeowners are able to mix history with modern living.
Well, next year, let's tour Denise Cook's home.
We will be touring my home next year.
I didn't know that.
My home will be open and on tour next year.
Okay, all right. You've got a year to get it
ready. Yeah, yeah. We had a little bit of water damage, and so we're still finalizing those repairs. That's why it wasn't on tour this year.
Good. Practice what you preach. Denise Cook, how do we get tickets? How do we learn more about your Heritage Hill Association and this wonderful Heritage Hill Tour of Homes?
We're at heritagehillweb.org is our website. You can also find out about the tour through Eventbrite. Both of the VIP and general admission tickets are on sale through there. Should you choose to wait until the weekend, we have some great locations within the hill that you can purchase tickets.
Get to know, one side of the river, as they say, this wonderful Heritage Hill Tour of Homes. Denise, thanks.
Thank you.
We frequently invite the Playhouse at White Lake. They're good people in on a frequent basis, many artistic opportunities for the summer. Let's talk to you manager Beth Beeman in the house. Good that you're here. How was the drive?
Oh, it's always good. It's always good. It's about 45 minutes from my house to here from Whitehall. So it's a nice, easy drive.
As I always say, you get through a newscast and a half and probably a full cup of coffee and don't put your makeup on, as they say.
Absolutely.
Oh, Playhouse at White Lake. Again, a hop and a skip away. Are you turning, is there a special anniversary coming up?
We are 110 years old this year.
Man. That is wonderful.
It is amazing. The Playhouse was built in 1916 in our little community of Whitehall. And back in 2019, we finished this amazing renovation. So, you know, we have went from 10,000 square feet to 17,000 square feet. We have a beautiful lobby and everything's accessible. It's just a lovely space.
Good. And again, follow along. What's your website?
Yeah, the Playhouse at whitelake.org.
Nice. You do play on stage. What's happening?
We
you have some auditions coming.
Yep. We do have auditions. It's this weekend, this Saturday from 7 to 9 p.m., and then again on Sunday from 2 to 4. We're having auditions for this very special original show called The Herstory of Animation. It's a musical celebration. And this show is in conjunction with an exhibit at the Muskegon Museum of Art. They are celebrating all female animators and throughout the history of animation and through other or, you know, types of businesses, women weren't really acknowledged for their contributions. So this is a show that is being curated by a woman named Mindy Johnson. She wrote literally the book called Ink and Paint on Animation. Women in Animation. And so she is from California and she's coming in and she's helping them set up this incredible exhibit, really celebrating women like Mary Blair and other women who made huge contributions to animation but were really never acknowledged. So, yeah, we're writing this. This is an original play called The Herstory of Animation, and it's an original show, and it's monologues and dialogues celebrating these women, but also with really great music in between and dance. So auditions are this weekend, and we hope that people will come out for that as well.
Yes. Who are you looking to audition? Women?
Yeah, women. We're looking to, like, 6 to 8 women and 2 to 4 men, depending on what we need. We'll also have a younger student, age 12, 13, a girl. And then we're also going to be having a chorus of younger, some of our youth theater members being in the show as well.
And when is the show?
It runs it's August 24th through August 2nd. So it's those 2 weekends. We do 4 performances on the weekends. There's a matinee and an evening performance on the Saturdays. So it's going to be a really nice summer. I'm really looking forward to everything we've got coming up for our festival.
It's interesting in the play on words because I was always pronouncing this her story versus her story.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? Yeah, so it's kind of like the history, but it's her story.
Yeah. I just you look at something and do you see a face or do you see a turkey? You know, not that that's related to this at all. Well, wonderful. And obviously all that information for the auditions this weekend and then the show on your website.
Yep.
Let's move into some spring shows.
Absolutely. So this Friday, we are so pleased to be celebrating with the Arts Council of White Lake. They are an incredible community partner. This is their 40th anniversary. So they're having a birthday party at the Playhouse. The show, it starts at 7 o'clock on Friday. And they're going to have a big birthday cake, a silent auction. And I know that they've got the fan club is playing as Tommy Foster, who has been on your show several times. And Karen and Eric Smith will be there playing. So it's going to be a really nice celebration of the arts. And we're so pleased that they chose the Playhouse to host their big event.
Open to the public?
Open to the public. Tickets are still available.
Take me to the magic of Motown.
Oh my goodness. So Moxie Events is a production company, and they are bringing the magic of Motown to the Playhouse. And this group is considered the penultimate Motown group. So it's not original people, just so people know that. This is a tribute, but much more than that. So they've got really, they do all kinds of Motown music. They bring the big band and all the lights and everything. So it's going to be at our, 367 seat theater on June 5th at 7:30, and tickets are on sale now.
Does that
include like a song from Aretha Franklin?
Yes.
Or, yes.
Yep. The Temptations, Aretha Franklin, Michael Jackson. So they do that whole variety of Motown sound and music. So it's a big group. I think there's four men, two or three women that sang, and then, of course, their full band. So we're really excited to bring that show to the Playhouse June 5th at 7:30.
Well, here's a little Aretha.
Ooh. Yay.
I don't want to use up your time, but that's grooving, Beth Beeman. All right, let's. What's next on your list?
So our first show in our Summer Theater Festival, which goes from June 12th all the way through August 16th, is in the incredibly talented Helen Welch. Helen is from the UK, and do you remember she was joined us back in 2019? She does an incredible show. It's called Carpenters: The Songs and Stories. And so she's this time around, she's joining us for two nights. The first night is Friday, June 12th, and it's going to be the First Ladies of Song. So she does songs like, you know, Barbara Streisand, Dusty Springfield, Joni Mitchell, Whitney Houston, Ella Fitzgerald, all the greats, you know, celebrating women. Again, there seems to be a theme this summer, just letting you know. And then the next night is she does this fantastic show. She sounds just like Karen Carpenter, and her show is her tribute show to the Carpenters is basically blessed by Richard Carpenter. And she tells fantastic background stories and stories you've probably never heard before about the Carpenters. So we've sold out that show the last time it was in town. So we hope that people will get tickets early so they don't miss out.
That's something. Karen Carpenter's voice is in studio. Yeah, I got my DJ hat on, but, you know, Carpenter, Aretha, I like these gals. Tell me, Beth Beeman, manager at Playhouse at White Lake, what else you have for the summer?
So the Summer Theater Festival, as we usually do, includes two shows by Central Michigan University. This is a long-term partnership we've had. They're kicking off the summer for us at the end of June this year. It's a show called Shivery, which is a tender, offbeat, romantic drama, followed by A Year with Frog and Toad, which I'm so excited about. And those tickets are only $15 and $10, you know, so you can bring the family. And then this year we are doing The Odd Couple. And it is not just The Odd Couple that you know. It's the female version. Again, there seems to be a theme that we're doing.
You say there seems to be.
There seems to be.
I mean, does it? It's kind of like, you know, doing four shows about theater. Yes. Does it just happen?
It's just happening. So we're really excited to bring that show to the stage. And then we are again participating with Walk the Beat White Lake. And if you don't know what that is, it is an incredible free community concert series. You walk from place to place. They are having, I believe it is 14 locations between Montague and Whitehall up in White Lake, and two bands at each place. And that is Saturday, July 18th from 1 to 5. And then we run into the next day, we are partnering with the White Lake Chamber Music Festival, and they are doing this incredible storytelling with music, the story of Babar the Elephant and Paddington Bear's first concert. That's July 19th. Yeah. Very sweet. People really, really loved it. We had, you know, people from, you know, 5 years old up to, you know, as old as you can get and still come to the theater. So, and again, the Herstory of Animation, that runs July 24th through August 2nd. And I encourage everyone to get tickets for that, but also go to the Muskegon Museum of Art and if you haven't been there and seen the incredible new addition to that, and then this really unique celebration of women in animation that starts in June, and then we are rounding our summer theater festival with Always Patsy Cline, one of my personal favorites. It's two women. One woman plays Louise, this is based on a true story. Louise met her. They became pen pals. They communicated for years. And then, you know, until Patsy's death, an untimely death. But this is a wonderful musical celebration. And part of our band is the Oat Bran Boys, for those of us up in our area that know who they are. They've been playing forever. And so we're really excited to have this really fun festival every summer.
All right, hopping to skip away. You get through one newscast and a cup of coffee. There you are. Beth Beeman, appreciate you for coming down and for leading you and yours through this wonderful spring and summer. You take care.
Thank you.
Here we go. Good things happening in studio. Good things happening, of course, right on campus. From where we broadcast, of course, yes, Grand Valley State University is strong, as is the FOBI, FOBI Scholar in Residence Program. I only get the best. Dr. Ana Gonzalez in the house, Associate Professor at Seaman College of Business and Director of the Family-Owned Business Institute. That's a.k.a. FOBI, correct?
Correct.
Yes, appreciate you. And Dr. Evelyn Michelatia. Okay, we'll start there. Associate Professor, holder of the Stephen Grossman Endowed Chair in Family Business at the University of Vermont's Grossman School of Business, and you are this year's FOBI Scholar in Residence. Be careful what you wish for. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank
Good
you
morning.
To you. All right, Dr. G, Anna, glad that you are here. Let's get right into FOBI and the Scholar in Residence program.
So, well, thank you very much for having us, Shelley. Yes. FOBI's mission is to champion and serve family businesses through scholarship, education, and advocacy, and the Scholar in Residence program is one of its, if not the most emblematic of the programs. Our goal is to bring family business scholars for 2 weeks to Grand Rapids to work with our faculty in creating or figuring out ways to create more knowledge in the family business field, and also to visit local family business and sharing their research and engaging the family business leaders with the idea that, they share family business knowledge that is at the cutting edge in the form of best practices.
Yes. What is the definition of a family business?
Well, family businesses are businesses that are owned and run by families, and also and families that have this idea of transferring their legacy, their assets, and, well, it encompasses more than that. Evelyn can help me on that, to the next generations and, thinking about long-term and continuity.
Yes, Evelyn, let's bring you in. Yes, part of your activities as FOBI, as a scholar in residence. You presented a seminar, I understand, to the West Michigan Family Business members. Went great, I understand, a great turnout. What was it about?
Yes, thank you, Shelley. It was a fantastic audience. So in the seminar, I discussed what we know about research, about how family business navigate technological transformations and adopt disruptive technologies. I talked, of course, about AI, but I discussed AI as a new iteration of the same dilemma around innovation that I think family businesses are used to navigate. So I try to give the insight to the audience that maybe family businesses are more prepared than they think to embrace AI, the AI disruption. I also had the chance to have on stage the founder, the very young founder of a startup company called, the product is called Junior. And so that gave the audience an idea of an extreme case of using AI, because this product is able to give you the chance to hire an AI employee in your company. So the audience could grapple with what it might mean for their companies to actually take this step.
Yes. The research finding that family businesses, how did you find that family businesses actually respond to new technology? I think you said positively, right?
Yeah. It was very interesting. I said it was a very thoughtful and engaged audience.
Yes.
The idea is that family businesses think that they should do more in terms of AI adoption. We know that family businesses are usually comfortable with the level of technology that they have chosen. But there have been some recent polls showing that in terms of AI, they think that they should be doing more, that they should be moving, faster. So during the seminar, I conducted some quick polls with the audience. And what happened is that we found out that there are a lot of fast followers in the region. So these companies are paying attention. But at the same time, they're also waiting to see how this technology will play out and just to be fast when the technology settles a little bit to jump on board. They're also very much aware of the possible challenges of AI adoption, in particular in terms of the cost of AI and also the lack of expertise inside the companies to help manage the AI transition. So it's a complicated issue.
So your answer to should family businesses be more willing to embrace technology is yes.
I wouldn't say, I would be uncomfortable saying should, but I do think that family firms are thinking, experimenting, and scaling up in some instances. Mm-hmm. We have some first mover, so yeah, I would probably say yes.
Nice, we want it factual. Dr. Gonzalez, what does this mean for family businesses here in West Michigan?
Well, I think it means that the conversation we had in the room last week is exactly the right one to be having, not only in terms of the content, because obviously everyone is talking about AI and how to implement it, but also because opening the discussion and creating spaces for these multi-generational family businesses to have, you know, to ask the right questions is very important. That's why we bring these minds that are the cutting edge, like Evelyn's, to raise those questions and raise awareness and make people sure, I mean, wonder, for on one side, wonder, but on the other one, you know, answer these questions and kind of telling them, well, you're doing what you're supposed to do so far, so just keep it up. You can adapt. You have those skills. Just be attentive and, you know, see this as an opportunity.
Opportunities are important. What is your impression of West Michigan's family business community? I'm kind of leading the question.
I have an excellent answer here.
Okay.
Well, I have a really tremendous respect and interest in the community of family business here in West Michigan. Yeah. They're an incredible bunch of companies. So my impression is that here, right here, we understand what stewardship is all about. The first, you know, the term that came to my mind is really stewardship. So these companies are very resilient. They are committed to making their community stronger and better. And it is really right in front of our eyes how incredibly beneficial this can be, not just for the companies and their employees, but for the entire ecosystem that has been built around that. I think it's a model of engagement that other locations could definitely look up to and know more about.
Heard it from you, and you are the Phoebe Scholar in Residence here with the wonderful Family Owned Business Institute. Dr. Gonzalez, what else does Phoebe have coming up for the community?
Well, we have a podcast, Shelley, Thrive Forward, Building Inclusive Success with Phoebe, where we celebrate family businesses from West Michigan. So what we do is invite family business leaders to share their story. And the premise of the show is that their embeddedness in the region brings social, institutional, and economic impact, which is what we have found in research, that goes way beyond, of course, their operations and touches their region. So we're in our first season. You can catch up. Just go to our website, gbsu.edu/FOVI. And, you know, we're on our fourth episode. Catch up.
That is wonderful. So when do you leave here?
On Friday.
On Friday.
Yeah.
Okay. Right.
2 weeks of that. Been so fast. It went by so fast.
I know, it does, doesn't it? Called life. And then what's next for you?
Oh, well, we have graduation at the University of Vermont, where I'm from. So on Saturday and Sunday, we have graduation and then a little bit of travel for conferences for the summer.
Wonderful. And Anna, do you start to look for the next year's Phoebe Scholar in Residence?
Of course. I mean, we just closed our applications, so I have very good candidates. We'll announce it soon. And, well, looking forward to the fall.
It's going to be hard to. You're a hard act to follow, Dr. Evelyn Mishlata.
Oh, true.
There we are. All right. One more time. How do we find out more information, Dr. Anna Gonzalez, associate professor at the college?
gbsu.edu/FOBI. FOBI.
I like saying that word, FOBI. 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 But it is the Family Owned Business Institute. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you, Shelley.
Thank you.
This is going to be a wonderful conversation I am to have with Bradley. We'll call you Brad Ransom, State Director for Skills USA Michigan, coming off a pretty cool conference, and I'm sure there's more on your list of things to do. Brad, good morning to you.
Good morning, Shelley.
Appreciate you and wonderful Melissa Conklin, who used to work with WGVU, giving us the connection. Always like to share that. Is home Ypsilanti for you?
It is, yep.
Let's get right into our conversation. Tell me about Skills USA Michigan.
Yeah, so Skills USA is a career and technical student organization that focuses on the skilled trades. So the majority of our membership is high school students with some college and post-secondary as well. We have about 4,500 members across the state, and we cover the entire state of Michigan, so all the way up in the UP as well. And our focus is really on building the skills that students need in order to be successful in their careers in the skilled trades.
How busy are you?
it's nonstop.
Oh, nice. Let's focus on the word skills, please. What does this mean?
Yeah, so Skills USA really uses our framework kind of as our guiding star, so to speak, in the types of skills that we focus on. And so the framework encompasses three different, I guess, greater skills, and that's personal skills, workplace skills, and then technical skills that are grounded in academics.
Who attends? Who is involved with these skills? Are we looking at high schoolers?
Yeah, so the majority of our members are high schoolers, but our membership includes their advisors as well as our industry and business partners as well. So most of our competitions that focus on the different career clusters that we cover are created and run by industry professionals.
And you did recently have a conference, yes, where awards were presented?
Yeah, so we had our State Leadership in Skills Conference this past April in Grand Rapids.
What was that like?
So it's a three-day conference. The first day, some competitions will start, but we'll mostly have our opening session where the students kind of get excited about the weekend ahead. And then the second day on Saturday, the students compete in their various competitions. So the students competed regionally in February, and then they qualified for the state conference. And then Sunday was our award session.
And give me an example of a couple of the award categories.
Yeah, so we cover quite a few different career clusters. One of the competitions that we run is called Teamworks, and it's where a team of students have to build a structure all the way from the kind of the ground up, so to speak, with they have to frame in the structure, they have to do brick and mortar around it, they have to have working electrical and plumbing in it, and then put a roof on top of it.
What does this Skills USA Michigan do for your kids?
Yeah, so we provide the students, we provide the different programs that are a part of our organization with curriculum that they can use in the classroom to help students connect what they're doing in the classroom to what it will be like in their career. We also offer our advisors and teachers that are members, professional development opportunities. We have, the competitions that students can take part in. So they have the opportunity to place at our state conference, and then they will go on to nationals in Atlanta, which will be in June 1st to the 5th this year. We also connect teachers and students with industry professionals through those competitions. So because a lot of the competitions are judged and run by industry professionals, the students have the opportunity to meet with people who are working in the trades that they will one day be working in as well.
Brad Ransom with us, State Director of wonderful opportunity to learn about Skills USA Michigan. And you might have mentioned, or I might have missed, is Skills USA a national organization?
It is. SkillsUSA is a national organization. We have about 440,000 student members across the U.S.
And, I mean, I trust this builds skills for life, whether it's the skill they choose or learning how to compete, sports and sportsmanship and beyond.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And like I said before, kind of the framework helps to focus on different skills, like in their personal skills, you know, you're working on integrity, work ethic, professionalism, responsibility, and those things can be applied to really any career choice you make.
Nice. What else would you like to share, Brad?
Well, I do want to mention that we also, SkillsUSA is also part of an international competition organization called WorldSkills. And WorldSkills is where competitors from around the world will compete in these various competitions, similar to what they do here in Michigan and then at the national level. But we're very excited that Michigan has the first female welder that will be competing for Team USA in Shanghai this fall at WorldSkills.
Wow. So travel on the list of good things to learn from this experience. Keep up your good work as State Director Brad Ransom. Remind me how to find out more information.
Yeah, thank you so much, Shelley. You can find out more information about SkillsUSA Michigan on our website, miskillsusa.org.
Smart and skilled students stepping up to the plate. Thanks. We'll talk again. Appreciate you. Thanks to Melissa Conkling for the hookup, and enjoy your day.
Thanks so much, Shelley. You too.
Your inspiration for the day, according to Lou Holtz, it's not the load that breaks you down, it's the way you carry it. Carry it well, I guess I'll add to that. Hope you enjoyed the show. I'm Shelley Irwin. Have a great day.